right back at it. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. And we are into the Tuesday edition of the show. It is so good to be with you. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, full show for you. We are front loading today. I've got a couple of interviews in hour number one. I am broadcasting live. I am in Southern California. I am still in our studios. And if you want to check us out, we are also on TV, for the most part, CBS Sports Network. Look for that and dial us up on the radio. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. If I mention the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, phone number once again, 1-800-636-8686. I should also let you know the XR4TI has changed up a little bit. The old man continues his training at the board. It's RIT! It's lit! Mr. President, strange deal. RIT is known as Mr. President, and you hear that theme song because my man looks like Dwight Eisenhower. He looks older than Dwight Eisenhower. Even more bizarre, RIT and I and Eisenhower have the same birthday. Even stranger, RIT is like 15 years younger than me and looks 20 years older. Go figure. It's all weird. Anyway, that aside, he is pushing the buttons, which means he has moved up, Hawk has moved back, and little Alvy is kind of floating around. In other words, let's get to the program. Josh Lambeau makes a triumphant return. Jacksonville Jaguars kicker Josh Lambeau, maybe the most fascinating kicker in the world, joins me in about 10 minutes. Ian O'Connor is a senior writer for ESPN. He's got a great piece up right now about Tom Brady and how he ended up with Tampa Bay. That's going to come up later on in the hour. Second hour is wide open for you. Rodney McLeod is a safety with the Eagles. He joins me in hour number three. Jim Rome podcast tomorrow. I mentioned that because, well, it is tomorrow. And because I've already taped the interview, Tony Hawk stopped by for a conversation yesterday, and he murdered it. So Tony Hawk will be my guest on episode 124 of the Jim Rome podcast. Now you know what we're doing. All right, so if you're looking for some help, let me start with this. With Khabib stuck in Russia and officially out of UFC 249, Tony Ferguson did not have an opponent for the April 18th card. But now that has been resolved with Justin Gaethje stepping in and officially signing on for that fight. Gaethje tweeted, quote, "For the people, I'm terrified, and I bleepin' love it. Hashtag UFC. All right, this is really fascinating on so many different levels. Number one, he tweets he's terrified. In fact, he should be. He's taking that fight on like 2 weeks' notice. Something he says, he's on record as saying he does not like to do. He does not like to fight on short notice. And he's doing so against one of the most dangerous people on the entire planet, in Ferguson. And a guy who's had the benefit of a full camp. So either this is one of the most reckless or badass or both decisions you're ever going to see. And the two of them are going to fight for the interim lightweight belt. Make of that what you will." Everybody's got an opinion on the interim belt, whether or not that means anything at all. But that's up for grabs. But the fact that Gaethje is officially signed on is not even the most interesting headline from the UFC in the past few hours. Fascinating, but not the most interesting. Because now that we have two fighters at the top of that card, the issue is no longer who is going to headline it, but rather where is that card going to be? Now, you might recall UFC 249 was originally going to be held in Brooklyn, but with coronavirus, that's no longer possible. So for the last couple of weeks, there have been rumors that it might be overseas, it might be here on the West Coast, it might even be at a UFC facility. Yesterday, Dana White came in and finally offered up some clarification, as only Dana can, tweeting that the fight would be, quote, "somewhere on Earth," end quote. Well, that certainly narrows it down. My man, Dana, somewhere on Earth. But Dana's got deets. And one of the details is that he's got a location locked up for the next 2 months. And as Dana told TMZ, the plan is to, quote, be pumping out fights every week, end quote. He's looking to pump out fights every week. And no clones. I don't see how he would or should be of any interest to old number six. Leave it alone. Those takes retired 20 years ago. They're not going to see the light of day today. Stay on point. Pump fights, not chicks. Hey-o. There, I said it for you. Idiots. Stand down. Put your phone down. Put your phone down. Back away from your phone. Stay on point. All right, now back to Dana's details. Here is another one, and consists of just two words. Not so much of a detail, actually, as an actual hint. Here are your two words. Two words relating to where that fight card is going to be held. The two words being private island.
Private.
It's private.
Private.
Island.
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 Private.
Island. Private. Island. Private island.
Private.
You don't believe me? Listen to my man break it down himself for Brett Okamoto.
So this place where this fight's going to be on April 18th, I have locked up for 2 months. So I'm going to continue to pump fights out. I've also secured an island. I've got an island. The infrastructure is being built right now. We're going to do all of our international fights on this island. So when April 18th, when we do this fight on April 18th, international and local, you know, in the United States, we're going to start cranking. The UFC will be back up and running internationally and here in the States.
So I'm not sure what's more amazing. The sentence, quote, I've also secured an island,
I've
or
also
simply
secured an island.
I've got an island.
I've got an island.
Both pretty amazing statements. The entire thing's a hell of a move, right? Headliner out, find a new opponent. Global pandemic, find a private island.
Private.
Global pandemic that has shut down nearly the entire globe. Psst, please. Hey, Rit, 1-1000, 2-1000.
Please.
Thank you. Just find a private island and we will fight it out there. A private island for fights. I mean, that doesn't even sound like real life. That sounds like something from a Bond movie or a Van Damme movie or, hell, the greatest martial arts movie ever, Enter the Dragon, starring the greatest martial artist ever, Bruce Lee. They had a tournament on a damn island. That's what this is. Even if it sounds more like a damn Joaquin email. An island. A private island where you're just, quote, pumping out fights every week. Really is one of the most unbelievable ideas ever. Only Dana White could come up with that. And only Dana White would have any shot of pulling that off. Just bringing fighters in by plane or boat or seaplane or hovercraft or teleportation, and having them throw down, and then leave the island? It's like Survivor meets The Ultimate Fighter meets a sci-fi flick. I mean, it doesn't even sound like a real idea. It sounds like something that comes up in a brainstorming session. You know, somebody stands up at a whiteboard, and is saying, how do we solve this problem? How do we solve this problem? Come on, people! No such thing as a bad idea. There are no bad ideas. And then somebody jumps up and says, hey, how about this? How about a private island for fights? And then everybody says, hey, Doug, you idiot. What a stupid idea that is. And then Doug tries to play it off like it was a big joke, like he was just joking. Except Dana is not Doug and Dana is not joking. Dana is serious. Dana has secured an island. Dana has the island. And now that he has the island, apparently he is now building out the infrastructure to stage regular fights there. Not just that fight card, but a fight like every damn week. I repeat, He has secured an island, and he is building an infrastructure. I mean, isn't that something that a general of an army would say? Not the president or commissioner of a sports league. Like, I know the NBA and MLB have had some wacky ideas that they floated out there, but I haven't heard about Adam Silver or Rob Manfred talk about securing any islands or building any infrastructures. Like, I've been in this business a long, long time. I have never heard an idea like this. I take that back. I've heard ideas like this, but nobody has ever announced plans to actually carry out an idea like this. Like, remember that really weird idea for the Tampa Bay Rays to play half their home games in Montreal? You know, the one where they'd have a baseball team playing half their home games in one country and the other half in another country. That was bat bleep crazy, right? And yet that seems way simpler and way easier than Hammer Fist Island or Chokehold Reef or Fishhook Key. Strike that. No fish hooking. But my man Dana, he's going for it now. Dana has battled like crazy to keep this card alive through a global pandemic and the champ pulling out, and he will not give up, nor will he give in. And best believe, Dana White is not going to fall in line with everybody else, shut it down, and then come back once again in a couple of months. Hell no. He didn't get where he's gotten with that sort of mentality. He is securing an island, and he's going for it right now. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That doesn't even mean that it's going to come off. And I say that despite the fact that I have never bet against Dana White and probably never will. But it's not just a matter of securing a private island. That's a sentence I never thought that I'd say on this program. But it's true. It's not just a matter of securing the private island. There are issues of transportation, health, safety. There are issues surrounding determining who can and who can't be on that island. And there's this. The Association of Ringside Physicians released a statement yesterday that read in part, quote, "It is our recommendation that all combat sporting events be postponed until further notice. This includes any and all events, regardless of the number of people involved. Any combat sport taking place during this global pandemic places the athletes, officials, and anybody else involved in the event under unnecessary risk of infection and transmission of COVID-19. In addition, combat sports athletes often require medical attention after a bout, and we do not wish to see any additional strain on an already overwhelmed medical system." End quote. It's pretty hard to argue with that, right? Just another challenge, because while that is a recommendation and it's not a ruling, the UFC would have to find doctors willing to ignore the recommendation. But knowing Dana, I'm guessing he's already got that part sorted out as well. Like, if you can secure a private island, you could probably secure a few doctors willing to work that. Like, I'm not sure that anybody's ever worked harder than Dana White has worked to keep UFC 249 going. And now he'll just be pumping out fights every week in the middle of a global pandemic. You got to tip your hat to Dana, I guess. He will not be stopped. If you didn't know it before, you know it now. My man is a force of nature. I'm not sure anybody can pull this off, but if it can be done, then Dana's the man to do it. Your thoughts on that? Lots more ahead, including Cuddy and his crew escaping the Bahamas. There were some dicey moments there, weren't there? All of that and a number of other things, but because I'm front-loading and I've got back-to-back interviews coming up this hour, I need a break right now. Josh Lambo next, Ian O'Connor right after that. Second hour is open. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation. Introducing the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it yet again. With all new mattresses, are you waking up with back pain? If so, we have Zone Support. It's Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called AirScape. Engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, even a dog bed now, Casper's got everything to build the dream bedroom. For every kind of sleeper, I might add. Experience the best night of sleep every night like I do with a brand new mattress from Casper. And as always, free shipping and free returns. Go to Casper.com and use the code Rome. Get $100 off your mattress order. Casper.com. Use the code Rome. $100 off that order. Casper.com. You have to use the code Rome, R-O-M-E. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms.
You're in a four.
Adam, let's do it. Rolling right through it. I'm Jim Rome. Welcome back. As promised, we're joined right now by a kicker for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not just a kicker, but an all-pro. 33 of 34 field goals made last season. 4 of 4 from 50-plus. A field goal percentage of 97.1% was the most accurate in the league among kickers with at least 15 attempts. The only kicker over the last 3 years to make at least 97% of field goal attempts with at least 4 made field goals from 50-plus yards. He was a first-round pick in the MLS draft. He was undrafted at Texas A&M in the NFL draft and is collaborating with First Sisters to encourage pet adoption. He's also hosting a new home workout show for Z Living TV. And on top of that, a friend of the program, Josh Lambeau, is back. Now, Josh, I saw you for a second in Miami. Didn't really get the chance to catch up. Obviously, these are not the circumstances I hope to be catching up in. But how are you and your family and friends doing right now?
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it. You know, we're doing as well as can be. Yeah, thankfully, haven't been overly affected by it. Me personally, I'm just trying to stay safe and make sure that everybody else does as well.
Good, and it's good to have you back. Listen, I would ask you how you're staying in shape at the moment, but I already have a bit of an idea. You are hosting a new workout show for Z Living TV. First off, where did the idea come from, Josh, and how much fun are you having working on that program?
Well, the idea just came from the needs of people right now. A lot of people are stuck at home. A lot of people don't have the extensive athletic training background that I have. And so I figured, okay, well, I need to work out anyways. Everyone else is going to try and do it too. Maybe I can help people out. Maybe they watch the show. Maybe they watch, the little clips I'm putting on Instagram on my stories. And, people from Z-Living got a hold of it and really liked it. And so now we're doing a show about it. So I'm hoping it's going to really help people in this current time where everyone feels that if you're stuck watching TV anyways, why don't you just work out as well?
Josh Lambeau joining us. All right, so let's help some people. For instance, if somebody is listening right now and they want to get in shape or they want to stay in shape, but they don't feel like they've got the motivation to do it in their home, what would you tell them?
Well, I can't really help a whole bunch with the motivation. So once you get the motivation to say, hey, this is something I'm going to do, you can check out my show on Z Living. You can check some of my Instagram stories. I think I have them saved at Josh Lambeau 2. As my Instagram handle. And once the motivation's there, I got the training. I just need the other end from everyone else that's watching.
Gotcha. Josh Lambeau joining us. All right, so what do you do in terms of the mental side of the game in the offseason? Do you consciously try to work on that and sharpen that all the time? Or maybe do you try to unplug and just get away from it for a little bit?
I do work on a lot of mental reps, but not necessarily with the football. I go through a lot of meditation books. I've been really going through a lot of mindfulness the past couple of years. I think I've talked about that a few times. And, so when a football starts to get thrown back into it, I know how to handle certain situations. I know how my mind is going to react. I'm trying to work on controlling my mind a little bit better. So, sometimes you step up to, I'm sure golfers get it. They step up to the ball, hitters get it in baseball. I step up to the plate. Sometimes you just have these negative thoughts, and I'm just really, really learning how to, when those thoughts come up, how I can reverse them, how I can not think going into a kick, oh man, this is a little too windy, or I'm not sure. I'm just able to refocus on what needs to happen to make that kick, and this is the time that I really get to work on all that.
So, Josh, when negativity creeps in, do you neutralize it, or do you try to turn it and make a positive pivot? In other words, do you think positivity, or do you think neutrally?
Honestly, I force my mind to focus on something different. So I will force my mind to focus on my technique. So instead of worrying about the conditions, I'll say to myself, okay, take 3 perfect steps back. I'll verbalize in my head as I'm going through my steps back and over. You know, when I get to my spot, okay, find an aiming point. Okay, feel your breath, breathe in, give your nod. I'll verbally say that sometimes. So my mind is forced to focus on the here and the now, not what might happen. And since I've been able to do that, I've been over 90% each of the last three seasons.
We were talking to Josh Lambeau. I ran those numbers down. They're pretty amazing. And you got the All-Pro nod as well this past year. So
yeah,
knowing you,
much.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, let me ask you about that. When you look back, like you and I could talk an entire interview and talk about mindfulness, not even get to football. But from a football standpoint, you had an amazing season. When you look back on that season, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Yeah, thank you for saying that. It's pretty surreal, you know, the fact that, you know, someone such as yourself is admitting on his own show that it is fact that I was an All-Pro, you know, in my... Was my fifth year in the NFL, my seventh year ever as a starter in any position ever in football, and I'm an All-Pro. It's really surreal. It's really humbling. And but on the same token, it's humbling, but it also says, you know what? Yes, it's an All-Pro, but there is a little asterisk there. You are second team. So, you know, it feels great that I have that recognition, but it motivates me more that, hey, I got that close. I was one miss away from being – an All-Pro, first team, and so that's what my goal is this next year.
All right, so I get that. I see you working, and maybe there's a clarification there, but let's consider a few years ago, you were a pro soccer player. Football was not really on your radar, so how does it feel to be where you are, not just in the NFL, but among the NFL elite?
It's a lot of validation for the tough decisions that I made. I played soccer from age 4 until 21, you know, 17 years of my life I dedicated to this one sport, and to just hang it up on, you know, because things were maybe a little tough, I didn't get exactly the contract I wanted to be offered, but you know, in my life, in that exact moment, that's what I needed to do. And so the fact that it wasn't necessarily, you know, who knows, maybe soccer was always meant to be my segue into football and I was born to be a football player, I just needed to go through soccer first. I really don't know, but it's pretty wild, but it reaffirms all the things I've told myself, all the hard work, all the hard days I've put in over the last several years. It's affirming that I'm doing the right things.
We are talking to Josh Lambeau. Now, one of the things you and I have talked about in the past is the fact that one of the first guys to greet you after a kick was Calais Campbell. So what was your reaction when you heard that he had been dealt to Baltimore?
It was a little heartbreaking, honestly. He's become not just a staple in Jack. The Jaguars just in the locker room, but personally in my own life. And I sent him a message. I said, hey, man, I don't know what to say. It's going to take me a little while to formulate something to say to you, but and I still haven't found the words to talk to him. But he's just such a good person on and off the field, clearly, as he was voted to be Walter Payton Man of the Year, which doesn't surprise anybody that knows him. And Calais is the kind of guy that I feel that his heart is more proud winning the Walter Payton Man of the Year than if he were to win the Super Bowl MVP. I'm sure that would do some personal achievements for him, but he's just that kind of man that if he can, he's always about leaving a legacy. How can I leave wherever I am better? And my experience, he's always done that. So I'm super lucky to call him a friend, to have learned from him. It's going to be, I don't know what I'm going to do after my made field goals this year.
Appreciate your thoughts on that, too. Josh Lambeau joining us. And then you got Nick Foles, who was sent to Chicago, which clears the way for Gardner Minshew. You know, you're somebody who brings confidence and personality to a locker room. How would you describe Minshew's presence around the team?
I think Minshew carries this swagger, this confidence of, my name is Gardner Minshew. I might not be the tallest, I might not be the fastest, but I'm going to work the hardest. And he just exudes that confidence with every step he takes. He's a really cool cat. I've never met someone at his age that has been that confident in who they are as a person. And it just radiates on the field. And he just does this thing. It's really, really impressive. He doesn't allow roadblocks to really be there. He just runs them over.
This is what you want from a franchise quarterback. Josh Lambeau joining us. Now, you and I have talked about your love of animals, and in particular, rescue dogs. On March 27th,
right,
you announced a project with Fur Sisters in Jacksonville. What is the project, and how did that come to be?
So the project is, I just really want to encourage pet adoption. You know, when something like this happens, a pandemic, when hurricanes happen, dogs and dog shelters kind of get neglected and get forgotten about. And having my dog, Indy, who I rescued from First Sisters, have her, having her at home with me during this quarantine, during the self-isolation, has been really invaluable. It's been amazing to have a partner to go through everyday stuff with, to sit on the couch and just kind of chat with. And we've been going through some pretty intense training, and it's been awesome for us. And so I don't want the financial sides of things to discourage people from, one, getting dogs adopted, because dogs certainly, it's not their fault that this pandemic is going on. And two, people can really benefit from these dogs at home right now. I know a lot of people are going a little stir crazy. I've gotten awesome messages from some of the families that have adopted dogs saying how important it's been to their child. So anyways, all these things I've been thinking about, I posted on Instagram that I was going to pay for half of the adoption fee and the first 6 months of all dog food for your dog if you were to adopt a dog through First Sisters.
Awesome.
So in 7 days, I believe we had 14 dogs adopted, maybe 12 to 14 dogs adopted. And it went so well. They don't think we only had 14 dogs to begin with. It went so well, and hundreds of applications filled First Sisters' inbox. I just decided that I wanted to keep it going, and I didn't think a week was enough. I think people were responding really well to it, and the messages I was getting from these families encouraged me to say that, hey, this needs to continue. More dogs need to get adopted. More families need these awesome furry friends in their homes. So I then announced that regardless of the time frame, because the first one was just the offer was for 7 days, then I offered the next 20 dogs that get adopted from First Sisters, my offer stands, I'll pay for half the adoption fee and all the dog food for 6 months.
That's tremendous. He is a kicker for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is an all-pro. He is hosting a new home workout show for Z Living TV. And as mentioned, collaborating with First Sisters to encourage pet adoption. Having a really active offseason. Josh Lambeau, my guest. Josh, great to have you back. Always appreciate the conversation. Good work during this offseason. I know we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, can't wait. Thanks very much.
Good job, Josh. Good on you. 1-800-636-8686. Like I said, most fascinating kicker in the world. He's more than that, though. This is somebody who was a pro soccer player and parlayed that into an opportunity in the NFL and now is one of the best to do it. When we come back, more NFL, Ian O'Connor. Great journo for ESPN. He has written a really interesting piece on Tom Brady and how he ended up in Tampa Bay. That's coming up next. Second hour is open in hour number three. Eagles safety, Rodney McLeod. Once again, lots of show for you. It's great to be here. In fact, I'm proud to be here in our Southern California-based studios. Telephone lines are open. If you want to jump in, go ahead and do it. Get in line, 1-800-636-8686. Again, Ian O'Connor joins us when we come back.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show. This is The Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
In fact, that is true. I am live in Southern California, and I am still in our Southern California-based studios. And we're still simulcast on TV on CBS Sports Network. Nice to have you here. My thanks to Josh Lambeau, Jacksonville Jaguars kicker. We had him last segment coming up in hour number three, a safety for the Philadelphia Eagles, Rodney McLeod. But I'm anxious to do this. We are joined right now by a senior writer for ESPN. He is the author of four books, including three New York Times bestsellers. His list of books includes Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. Ian O'Connor is my guest. Ian, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How's it going?
Good, good. Ian, great to have you back. Thanks so much. You've got a great piece up right now that breaks down how Tampa Bay developed a plan to sign Tom Brady. So let me jump right into that. As you detail at the start of the piece, the plan was called Operation Shoeless Joe Jackson. Who came up with that name, Ian, and what's it say about how Tampa Bay approached it?
Well, actually, Jim, that was John Spytek who came up with the name. He is a former Brady teammate at Michigan who's the director of player personnel with the Buccaneers, and he just happens to be a Field of Dreams fan, and so he decided they wanted a code name for this pursuit, which was a real long shot, and lo and behold, Tom Brady actually did walk out of that cornfield and showed up in Tampa Bay. So there were people in that organization, including the GM, Jason Light, who, of course, is a former Belichick scout and executive in New England with two stints there, with the Patriots. Jason Light himself was very surprised that they landed Tom Brady, the greatest free agent of all time. And so I think that Tampa's now looking at it like, hey, we had a quarterback last year in Jameis Winston who committed 35 turnovers, and we went 7-9 and lost a bunch of close games. And I think Brady's looking at that roster and that record and what Winston did turning the ball over last year, saying, I could have gone 11-5 with that team. So we'll see how it plays out. I think it's a big gamble. If I were Brady, I would have stayed in New England. I think that was the safer play. But the one thing about Brady and some other great athletes I've admired from afar over the years, Jim, is he does not fear the consequences of failure. And I think he's proved that with this transaction.
Ian O'Connor is joining us. All right, so a lot of good information in that response. So, Ian, if it were a long shot and they thought so internally, when did they first start to think that they had a serious and legitimate shot at landing Tom Brady?
So that Monday phone call with Don Yee, Brady's agent, that surprised them at how encouraging that phone call was. And then Tuesday, of course, so we're looking at what, around March 17th when Brady announces in social media that he's leaving New England. So going into that phone call Wednesday, it was Jason Light drove over Bruce Arians' house. They had it Wednesday evening in Bruce Arians' living room, and they talked to Brady for 90-plus minutes. And early on in that phone call, they were shocked at how enthusiastic Brady was about playing for Tampa Bay, which is, as you know, Jim, the losingest franchise in all of North American sports with a career winning percentage of .387. So here's the ultimate winner recruiting the ultimate loser franchise.
Right.
And so it was really early in that phone call where Jason Light looked at Bruce Arians in his living room and gave him a thumbs up, like, this guy's going to come play for us. So it was shocking to a number of people in that organization.
Ian O'Connor joining us right now. He's got this piece up. It is a really, really good read. So what about Arians, Ian? And he's got mantras like, no risk it, no biscuit. Win or lose, we booze. It's amazing. How different is that from Belichick?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, could you imagine Belichick ever saying those words?
No.
And I know there's a prominent former player of Arians who once asked him about managing defeat, and he gave a shortened version of that quote where he said, hey, if we lose, we booze. And that player was stunned by that response. But it's a big gamble for Brady to trade Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, with 31 postseason victories for a head coach with one postseason victory, Bruce Arians. So I understand that Brady's eager to work with a guy who's a lighter touch, and obviously Arians has had a lot of success with big-time quarterbacks in the NFL, but that's still a major gamble. It's also a huge gamble to go with Jason Light, who's been the GM in Tampa for 96 games and lost 62 of them. So, I mean, the one thing is Jason Light did get Evans and Godwin and hired Arians. Without those three hires or acquisitions, Tom Brady doesn't sign up, so he deserves some credit for that as well.
Ian O'Connor is my guest. Ian, like you, I really respect that Brady is taking this risk, is putting himself out there. It is a major gamble. Now, one friend is quoted in your piece as saying, quote, Tom was Belichicked out after 20 years. What do you make of that comment?
Well, I don't know of any incident that occurred between Belichick and Brady this year. In fact, based on people I talked to, their relationship this year was actually better than it was in 2017 when it was pretty much a complete mess. And I know for a fact that after that 2017 season, deep into that offseason in March, Brady was thinking of leaving the Patriots and not playing for Belichick anymore. But I think that relationship improved. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl the following year. But I just think after 20 years of being coached in a very relentless, unforgiving way every single day, combined with the fact that Brady in these final years got tired of begging for multi-year contracts, you put those two things together, and that's what I believe that friend meant when he said he was Belichicked out.
We are talking to Ian O'Connor. He is a senior writer for ESPN. He's authored 4 books, and he's got a really interesting piece up right now on Tom Brady. So, Ian, in your opinion, how much of Brady's move to Tampa Bay was about the roster that you mentioned that Light had assembled and the weapons he'd have, and then how much of that was about a change of scenery and a change of attitude?
That's a very good question. It might be a 50-50 split. I do think he looked at that roster. I know for a fact on that conference call with Arians and Jason Light, he cited defensive playmakers he really liked. Of course, he talked about the receivers and Arians' offense and his history with quarterbacks. So a lot of positive things. Playing in warm weather as you age, of course, is another positive. But I do think he was looking for a lighter touch in the position of head coach. If you think about it, Jim, even going back to his college years, 5 he had five really tough years under Lloyd Carr. So 25 straight years of being coached in a tough love, unforgiving way, Bruce Arians is going to coach him that way. Bruce Arians is about, hey, let's grab a beer, let's go play nine holes of golf, we could sneak it in. And I do think that appealed to him, so that was part of the process as well.
We were talking to Ian O'Connor. All right, so what about Belichick? You've studied him as much as anybody. What do you think that Belichick makes, Ian, of how this whole thing played out? For instance, is it the result that he was hoping for, that Brady would leave and that he could move on to Jarrett Stidham, or is this not going according to Belichick's plan?
Well, I think he was certainly willing to have Tom Brady be his quarterback again next season under Belichick's terms. It had to be his terms. And if it wasn't going to be his terms, then I think he did want to make the change. Now, years ago, he told people he was looking forward to the day where he could try to win a championship with a different quarterback. Nothing against Tom Brady. He understood everything that Brady meant to Belichick's own legacy. But it was a challenge that I think he was looking forward to in the person of Jimmy Garoppolo. That was supposed to be the guy. It didn't happen. Now it's Jarrett Stidham. And I do think this is going to reinvigorate Belichick's career. In fact, I think he's going to win the AFC East. Until somebody in that division can prove they can take that division title away from Belichick, I'll believe it when I see it. So I think whether it's Jarrett Stidham or some other quarterback that he signs, I think they should still be considered the favorite to win the AFC East.
Bills Mafia will not like that, Ian, but I see you working. I know what you're talking about. Now, nobody stays with the Patriots forever. Most guys leave before they're done. Could you make the argument that Brady is actually the first Patriots star to leave on his own terms?
You could make that argument, even though the counter-argument is, well, Belichick could have offered him, by not offering him 2 years with a $50 million guarantee like Tampa Bay did, he was basically sending Brady a message that he wanted him to leave. However, I think one of the greatest accomplishments in Tom Brady's career, beyond the six rings, of course, and all the division titles, is that he outplayed the Belichick system. The software did not account for Tom Brady forcing Belichick, basically, effectively, to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, his chosen successor. He's really the first made man in New England to outplay the Belichick system. And so by leaving on his own terms, by announcing it on social media, he took ownership of that, and it was Tom Brady's way of saying, I'm going to dictate how I leave, even if Belichick doesn't really necessarily want me back. So I think that that actually is a pretty significant career accomplishment for Brady beyond the six rings.
I think that's really interesting what you just said. All right, so what about Brady? What's your sense as to where he is physically right now as he prepares for a season where he will be 43?
Well, you look at his numbers, they certainly declined last year. There's no question about that, but you have to wonder how much of that was the fact that his receivers could get no separation whatsoever. I still think he's got a lot of football left in him, and I remember talking to him for about 45 minutes on the phone a few years ago where we were talking about him playing beyond age 45. I actually think he's not going to stop at 45. As long as he's playing at a fairly high level and he's healthy, I think he'll go to 46, 47. And we did talk about that. He said, if I'm 45 and I feel good, even though that's the number I've put out there, I don't see why I would stop. So I think he's looking at this Tampa Bay journey, Jim, as more than 2 years. I think he's looking at this as maybe a 4 to 5 year proposition, and really trying to have a second career down there with again, a franchise that has had the least amount of success of any team in the four major sports.
So, Ian, before you go, quickly, how much of this is about, when we think about Tom Brady, we think about him trying to be self-actualized, we think about him trying to, and it is a lifestyle, it's part of his business, of course, off the field, but how much of this is about him motivated to prove that he was more successful and a bigger part of that dynasty than even the coach himself?
Sure, that's part of it. I think that they both have that, Belichick and Brady, deep down. They wanted to find out. Well, guess what? Now they have the opportunity. Who is the more critical figure in that dynasty? Was it Belichick or was it Brady? And if you read what Brady wrote on the Players Tribune yesterday, Jim, there was a lot in there. There were some passive-aggressive jabs, I thought, at Belichick. He barely even mentioned him. He mentioned him one time in passing in a piece that was, what, 2,500 words. So I do think there's a big part of Brady that feels like, and he said it in that piece, he's got something to prove. And a big part of that is proving it without Bill Belichick.
I did notice that. That was a long piece, and he really did not mention him very often at all. So, Ian, before you go, a few weeks back, the 92, this off-topic, Duke-Kentucky game was re-aired. You tweeted that it was, quote, the best basketball game I've ever covered, college or pro. That's obviously incredibly high praise. The ending was legendary, but when you think about that game overall, what kind of memories do you have?
Well, the memory of Sean Woods of Kentucky, the shot he made to beat Hurley off the dribble, Bobby Hurley, one of the greatest point guards of all time in college basketball, then to take that shot over Leitner and bank it in with 2.1 seconds left. That shot largely got forgotten, but that would have gone down as maybe the greatest shot ever in the NCAA tournament before Leitner made his greatest shot ever. So I remember just the looks on the Kentucky players' faces, the devastation after that game. It was haunting, really, as great a sporting event as it was to cover and be at. The pain and devastation on the Kentucky players' faces, I will take that to my grave. I'll never forget those images.
He is a senior writer for ESPN. He is the author of four books, three of them New York Times bestsellers. The list of books includes Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time, and again, a really, really good piece up right now where Ian O'Connor breaks down Tampa Bay and how they developed a plan to sign Tom Brady. Ian, it's great to have you back on this show. I always look forward to the conversation. Ian, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Much appreciated.
You too, Ian. Well done. Really well done. He is a great journalist. Ian O'Connor, senior writer for ESPN. All right, so a good first hour, good content once again. The second hour is now open. So I'm looking for telephone calls. I'd love to have any of you, hell, all of you, get up in here. Take your shot. 1-800-636-8686. If you're wondering what else we're going to cover, Cuddy. Time for a Cuddy update. Jay Cutler back in the news. Well, sort of. UFC 249 on a private island. We now have our main event. In the event that Dana White really does pull off that miracle and that happens, I've got thoughts on the main event. A proposed schedule for golf that's amazing, which I want to get to. Kyle Walker back in the news. Back to back. All of that still ahead.